Hi, this is John O'Hare from Clear Lake, Iowa. And this episode is brought to you by Ivy Envy Patreon supporters like me. Learn more at patreon.com/IvyEnvy. Next!
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVMV podcast. This is our 387th episode and the first since the Cubs 2016 season started on Monday. On this episode, we're going to talk about the Cubs' two-game sweep of the Angels in Anaheim. And at the end of this episode, Andy will give us his Rube Waddell story of the week, which we're moving to these midweek episodes. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hey, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
I'd say the 2016 season is off to a good start. What do you guys think? Are you pleased?
It's all right. They did give up that one run. That
yeah.
was right. Disappointing.
That really sank your spirits.
Yeah. It's been a rough couple of days.
I mean, could it have gone any better?
No,
other than that one run, probably not.
I saw somebody say on Twitter today that could you imagine the like just where Cubs fans' heads would be right now if those scores were switched? If the Cubs had lost 9-0 and 6-1, it would be
hate to even imagine it.
Right. Well, we don't have to imagine it. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, so why are you making us?
Well, you know, when I saw that the Cubs were starting the season on the West Coast against the Angels and Diamondbacks, I thought it was great. I figured that the Cubs offense wouldn't have to play in cold weather right off the bat, and they could maybe get off to a good start. After a couple of 9 p.m. starts, I guess from a Corey getting enough sleep standpoint, I'm not really a fan of starting the season on the West Coast. That was like a real shock to my system. Did you guys handle it okay?
I'm doing okay now, but it was rough. I was like just kind of head bobbing for a while there late in the game. Made it to the eighth inning on Monday.
It hit me pretty hard today at work. I looked in the mirror at work and noticed I looked pretty rough. Like my eyes were kind of red. It looked like I had a long night the night before, and I did. but I prepared for last night's game by accidentally falling asleep in the evening before game time. And so that kind of helped me out along with some night coffee. So yeah, I went the distance.
Power nap in there.
Yeah, I went the distance last night.
Oh, wow. I did. Last night was even worse for me. I think I checked out, in the seventh or whenever we were texting. When did that home run?
I think that was the sixth.
Yeah, that's why, right after that I checked out. So,
yeah, it was over then. But yeah, I don't know. I guess I look at it and it's like, well, it's a worthwhile sacrifice to give up a few hours of sleep for the Cubs to be able to start on the West Coast, start in warm weather, and really just pick up where they left off in 2015. I mean, except for the Mets series. Let's forget about that. But
and we're sitting here talking about how hard it is for us to sit on our asses and watch due to the time difference. And I'm sure it's probably a little more difficult for them playing, coming back a couple hours and dropping a full 50 degrees in temperature. So I think it definitely helps to schedule this sort of stretch on the West Coast.
Yeah, yeah. I
does it make us sound like old men to be complaining about how late the games are?
Well, we are. I mean,
I fully embrace my oldness.
It was tough. Okay with it. I think, you know, normally we have the opportunity to kind of ease into West Coast games by staying up maybe past 10:30 to watch games that go a little bit late, maybe a couple extra inning games here and there, you know, in the central time zone. But this was like, I was still in like winter sleep mode where I'm tired by 9:30. And so it was just a shock to my system was all. But well, enough talk about being tired. So our goal with this midweek episodes really is for them to be shorter. With only two games to talk about, I think we should be able to accomplish that on this episode. Before we get into anything, though, if you're looking at going to Cubs games next week for the first few series at Wrigley, you might want to get your parking figured out.
Yeah, it's it's kind of rough. Game day parking can be a hard thing to accomplish if you leave it to chance. So a good way to not do that is know where you're going to park before you get there. And you can do that with ParkWiz. If you go to ivmv.com and then scroll down a little bit on the right side, there's the ParkWiz widget down there. And you can just click on the game you'll be attending, and it'll show you a map with the pricing and where it is in proximity to Wrigley Field. And you'll likely save a decent amount of money, or at least save yourself the headache of finding parking on a game day. And I've used it a ton, so I can vouch for the fact that it's super helpful. It's easy. It's always worked for me. Yeah. And, it's not just for game days. You could do like other events or just, hourly parking if you're in the city for some other reason. So it's a great, great little tool. So if you go to ivmv.com and do it through there, then it helps us out and you'll probably save a little money for yourself.
Yeah, I use it pretty much anywhere I'm going to have to pay for parking. I use ParkWiz. Like next week, I'm going to St. Louis, and I'm going to have to park in their downtown area, so I'm doing it through ParkWiz. So it's not sports, centered or Chicago centered. So, and speaking of the home opener coming up next week and the Cubs being in town, if you're in the Quad Cities, Galesburg, Peoria areas, we're going to do a meetup at Duffy's in Galesburg for the home opener next Monday evening. Kurt, obviously, I'm assuming you won't be attending, and
I will not.
Andy, I think are you up in the air for right now?
I'll be sitting at my normal video gaming station in Duffy's, not paying attention to the game. So
your back turned.
No, my plan is to try to make it out as of right now.
Okay, cool. So if you're interested in hanging out and you want to watch the Cubs with some of Galesburg's finest, come on over, and if you would like more information, then you can email me, Corey, Corey, at ivmv.com. Well, in looking at the first two games of this series, we've kind of already referenced this. We have a lot of positives and not very many negatives to discuss. The Cubs outscored the Angels 15-1. The Cubs had 20 hits in those two games, and Cubs pitching gave up just 7 hits. So great pitching, lots of offense, and let's talk about it. What stands out to you guys in this series?
Well, we kind of talked about this a little bit last night. Is like, how many runs is this team going to score? It just seems like they're going to score a ton of runs this season. I was just thinking back on Cubs teams from the past and thinking about the 2008 Cubs team. They scored 855 runs, which is insane. And that was with the lineup that featured Ryan Terrio and Kosuke Fukudome. So I really think that this team could score a ton of runs. Just for perspective, last year's team scored 689, and that was good for sixth in the NL. The Royals last year scored like 720 or something like that. So 855 is insane, really.
Yeah. It's especially that game on Monday, like that is just what a great way to start off the season. And especially for us Cubs fans that really, I think, obviously a lot of Cubs fans experience some, I think a lot of us have some anxiety or some kind of nervousness about this upcoming season, all the expectations, the pressure and everything. And that game on Monday night reminded me so much of like your typical the second half, or maybe like an August game in 2015. It kind of reminded me of like the Labor Day Massacre in St. Louis, that it was just like, it was just so much fun to watch. And not just the scoring and not just the home runs. I mean, we're going to talk about them just working counts and taking really good at bats. And it was a great way to start the season. So much fun as a fan.
Yeah, and then seeing Jake Arrieta be, you know, everyone's kind of said, well, let's not expect the second half of last year. And then he goes out there and does exactly that. Right. It's one game, I get it, but like, he was nasty. Like, that was, and to see Lester go the next night, and Lester was really, really good. But the contrast in Arrieta's stuff to Lester's even, and I'm not meaning to put Lester down. I don't think it's an insult to him.
Here we go.
But Arrieta was just absolutely just unbelievable.
It was like, so much. It was just so much fun to see him make Mike Trout look silly. Mm-hmm. Like that could be the highlight of the season for me, was seeing like Trout.
Let's hope it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good point.
But the fact that they held Trout and Pujols both hitless, Lester and Arrieta did, in the bullpen for the entire two games is pretty, it's really something.
Right. Trout went 0 for 8 with 3 strikeouts, and Pujols went 0 for 7 with 2 strikeouts. And, you know, watching Pujols bat and look not good, it's like, why couldn't the Cubs have had this pitching? Like when Pujols was with the Cardinals, you know, like it was amazing to have Pujols come up to bat. And Pujols had a pretty good season last year. I mean, he's not like completely washed up. He's not what he was with St. Louis, but he's not like a total joke right now. But it was amazing that I was just like it used to be like when Pujols came up, I could feel it like in the pit of my stomach, you know, it's just like, oh God, here's Pujols. And he came up this time, and it's like, okay, how are we going to make him look stupid this time?
you're licking your chops. He didn't look comfortable in the box, I don't think.
No. I don't think anybody did against Arrieta.
Well, yeah, that's true. It was just... But in particular, Pujols looked more fidgety than I've ever seen him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's stay on pitching. I thought we kind of talked about Arrieta, and he looked amazing. It was a really good outing by Lester, and there's a lot of talk about him being more comfortable heading into the season, and that makes sense. I mean, he was the big free agent signing before, like last year, and now he doesn't have the pressure of being the ace, and he's just a big free agent signing, not the big free agent signing. And, you know, supposedly he and Lackey are really good friends, and this is probably a totally ridiculous thing to say, but he seems like he's wound kind of tight, and a really serious guy that puts that much pressure on himself. Being that type of a guy, I think having him more comfortable in the clubhouse and on the field is a really good thing. And I think that it could have very positive results on the field, like we saw on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it was, I don't think he wasn't like an old curmudgeon about last year, but you could tell like he was kind of sometimes the odd man out with some of the fun and games they were having. And I think maybe now with the year under his belt and with Lackey there, he could, you know, he's got another old curmudgeon to go through it with. But yeah, I think you're right. He's just a different personality type, and I don't want to pick on him for being different than the goofy guys, but
he's the kind of guy that would complain about being tired as a fan at West Coast games.
Yeah. But it was great to see him go out and do what we've kind of been waiting for him to really be dominant again.
Right.
And he was last year at times, but just not the whole season.
Yeah. Anything else about pitching you guys wanted to
talk about? Well, I did want to kind of give some credit to the bullpen too, that they pitched 4 of the innings, and they only gave up 1 hit in those 4 innings. So they looked really great. There was a couple moments where you thought maybe they could get in trouble, but just worked out right out of it. So yeah,
Strope, the bullpen was great too. Strope in particular looked pretty on point.
Yeah.
So yeah, the team ERA sits at 0.5 right now in 18 innings. So.
I think they can keep that going. I don't see any reason. be hovering right around there the whole time. Okay, so let's talk about the offense. I was really impressed with seeing the Cubs kind of pick up where they left off in the regular season 2015. They didn't look great offensively in spring training, but man, they knocked around Angels pitchers. And I think what stood out to me was the way that they put so much pressure on the Angels pitchers by working counts and making some of those innings very difficult. In the fourth inning on Monday's game, they only scored two runs. But in that inning, Rizzo walked on five pitches. Bryant walked on six pitches. Schwarber grounded out after five pitches. Soler was a quick one pitch out. Montero singled after five pitches. Russell struck out on six pitches. And Fowler struck out on five pitches. So my dummy math says that's 33 pitches for Richards. And somewhat stressful pitches, given that Rizzo and Bryant walked to start things off and there was two on with no outs. They really made Richards work to get out of it, and he only lasted five innings. And then I don't know if you guys saw, but I'm almost positive he went on the DL today.
Oh, really?
I didn't see.
Yeah, I think, or no. Heaney did.
Wow.
No, yeah. I wonder if it had something to do with his nose. I honestly don't know. I didn't see what it was.
15 for a bloody nose. That's the nastiest bloody nose ever.
But
I thought he left a little plug in unnecessarily long. Like, it's probably done now, you know. I suppose better safe than sorry.
Yeah, but then, you know, in that game, you know, the Cubs made the bullpen pay by scoring another six runs. So it was really that fourth inning that they just drove up the pitch count, stressful inning. And obviously, I think the Cubs kind of lucked out by facing an opening day, I guess, quote unquote, ace of a staff like Richards. But it was, I don't know. That really stood out to me, that inning, because they were just working so many counts. And that's, you know, the Cubs led all of baseball in pitches per plate appearance in 2015. And I think it's pretty clear that we're going to see that continue in 2016. And yeah, a lot of those plate appearances will end with strikeouts, but it really does put pressure on the pitcher. And if it's a starter, it drives up the pitch count, and then you get into the bullpen quicker, which is usually a good thing.
Sure, and I'm sure it leads to more mistake pitches, too, in subsequent innings.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I mean, they chased Haney on Tuesday after six innings, and then in the seventh, that's Fowler hit the two-run home run off, I think his name was Morin, and like the second batter that he faced, you know, he gave up what was it, a single to Caesar, I think, and then Fowler hit the home run. So yeah, you want to get into the bullpens.
Yeah, the Cubs are sort of proving that, like, first time through the order you can kind of be patient, work up the pitch count, and then they showed in both the fourth inning on Monday and maybe the third on Tuesday, kind of when they hit that sweet spot. They've already seen the guy once, and then they lit him up both nights. So it was kind of nice to see that, even though there wasn't a huge offensive scoring production early, you know, once they'd gone through and seen the starter and then got to the bullpen, they just kept the pressure on and kept pouring it on. So.
Well, especially in yesterday's game, in Tuesday's game, it was nice to see the bottom of the order kind of start a rally with Caesar and Ross. And then it's just like, it's like blood in the water. If you can start a rally at the bottom of that lineup, oh my God, could you imagine being a starting pitcher and be like, okay, I just gave up a home run to Matt Caesar, and I gave up like a hit that was about a foot from being a home run to David Ross. Look who's standing there at the top of the dugout, just like chomping at the bit to come out and face me.
Oh man. That's ridiculous when you put it that way, but that's what pitchers are going to be facing with the Cubs all year long. Yeah, and so they, seven of their 15 runs were from home runs last night. I've always kind of worried about them being too home run dependent, but like you said, it's that seeing a lot of pitches, getting on base, having a good on base percentage, and so the home runs are more meaningful is what drives the offense and makes it successful.
And I think the other kind of nice thing about the home runs is some of them came late. So like maybe if you removed so the late innings didn't really matter, it's a little more balanced. You know what I mean? Like a seventh, right. Eighth, ninth inning home run when you're up by six or seven. So they were, when they scored early, they kind of were mixing it up a bit, like the first run from Fowler.
Even though they're
on with the double,
right? Even though there's so much home run power on this team, it just doesn't feel like a team that's just completely going to rely on home runs. And I think that we're going to see this team struggle offensively this year. I mean, there's no doubt. But you know, when the lineup is that punishing and everything is clicking, it's disastrous. But I think that where they will hit, when they will slow down, is going to be maybe like the Mets series, where they work a lot of counts and they don't necessarily get the calls, or they work counts and then they have an umpire that's expanding the strike zone a little bit, or, you know, a pitcher that's just kind of skilled in that area, or a catcher that's skilled in that area. But I think those are going to be like kind of outliers throughout the season. Because I think in general, that strategy and that philosophy is going to work well. Yeah, and Bob just mentioned in the chat, Bob from Moline, he says that's why they brought contact guys in this year, and that's exactly right.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, and it was nice to see sort of Fowler, like, do his job at the top and have such an offensive production. He was 5-for-8 with a double and a home run, scored 4 runs, had 9 total bases in the 2 games, and the entire Angels lineup had 9 total bases.
Right.
So his offensive production was equal or greater than all of the Angels. And so it's like, I don't know. I mean, I know we can't expect this kind of offensive production the whole time, but to see Fowler go out there and be a true leadoff guy and kind of set the table for the rest of this lineup. And even if a guy gets stranded, just all that pressure finally gets to a pitcher,
right,
when you've got guys on base all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if Fowler can hit north of 650 this season, it'll be a pretty good year.
Well, he's only 545 now, so he's got to up it a little bit.
Step it up.
Or no, maybe you're right. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong number.
Well, you know, I didn't think that bringing Fowler in this season was like a huge deal. I think that he's kind of like a good clubhouse leader. I think his presence is important or, you know, valuable on the team. On the field, though, I thought, well, okay, well, we have like Hayward could lead off. And Joe Maddon does unique things with the lineup. And so Fowler's defense isn't very good. And so to me, it just seemed like a signing that was like, well, I wonder if it's maybe not just more for like clubhouse stuff. And I mean, he is valuable, of course, but it didn't like, I wasn't like totally nuts about the signing. But obviously I don't think he's going to hurt them. I think it'll be good to have him there. He's obviously better than, you know, I'd rather have him there than Matt Caesar or somebody, but I don't know. How can you even, it's been 2 games, so I can't even be like, well, he proved me wrong, you know, like, yeah.
but it's a really, really great 2 games.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was so nice. I mean, like, I just can't say how happy it made me to start the season like that. And especially to see the freaking Cardinals lose 2 games in a row.
Yep. And they're down now. So,
oh, are they? 3. Oh, good. Oh man. Yep. That'd be great.
It's an auspicious start. It'll be interesting to see how they do with the next 3 pitchers in the rotation against the reeling Diamondbacks. Those guys really took it on the chin against Colorado their first couple of games. Mm-hmm. So it could be a good week heading into coming back home next week.
Yeah, man. I would, especially a 4-game series. And so you've got Lackey, Hamill, Hendricks, and then Arrieta. So, I mean, man, it almost feels like we should at least split that. I mean, I think Arrieta's would face Greinke on Sunday, which that'll be a really fun game to watch.
But if it's Greinke's first start versus Arrieta's first start, it's not a matchup.
Yeah.
So let's hope that's what happens.
Yeah. It'd be great. Especially, it's been great to watch the Cardinals get beat up on and lose. Unfortunately, it's been to the Pirates, who the Cubs will probably be fighting later in the season for the division or playoff spots or both. So, Well, I mentioned Matt Caesar. I think we have to talk about him. I believe his days are numbered with the Cubs. When Baez is ready to come back, I think if there's no other injuries and nobody to put on the DL, I think Caesar is most likely on his way out. But he's been playing really well, obviously, and I don't think it's going to drastically drive up his value. I mean, he's 3-for-5 with a double, a home run, and 4 RBIs in 2 games. It's not going to hurt his value, though. So I don't know. I kind of like hope that a lot of Cubs fans don't see like kind of that, you know, oh, he's the fifth outfielder, scrappy guy, and get too excited about Caesar, because really 3-for-5 with a double, home run, and 4 RBIs in 2 games, that's not the real Matt Caesar. And I really like Caesar, but he's a fourth or fifth outfielder, and I think that he's the kind of guy that might have a place on the 2012 or 2013 Cubs, like a Tony Campana or Micah Hoffpower or something. But I don't think that he has a place on a healthy 2016 Cubs team.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's I think they're fielding phone calls right now, trying to see if they can find a place for him, because you don't want to let him go for nothing. But
or maybe more like placing ticket. Maybe placing phone calls, maybe not fielding.
Yeah. Did you see that game?
Time to fire up the call center. Let's put the feelers out.
Yeah, but it's, you know, there's going to be the reactionary. Did they just trade a guy who's hitting 400 for a single A pitching prospect? And it's like, well, anything.
There's the bumbling band of misfits at work again.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, anything is a return. So
the crazy Cubs hat lady at Cubs convention. See, anytime anybody does well, Theo trades him.
She has a Caesar salad bag taped to her hat.
And anchovy pins.
Oh, man. All right. Well, anything else you guys want to talk about with these two games?
I don't think so, but man, I'm excited. It was freaking awesome. I'm just so glad and giddy for baseball to be back and for good Cubs baseball.
Yeah, yep. It's been a blast, and I'm looking forward to this Diamondback series. So, it's just two games, though, so I don't think there's really a reason to make this episode any longer than it needs to be. We want to thank all of you that left us iTunes reviews, and that response just blew us away. 56 of you reviewed our podcast in the last week and a half. And if we could figure out iTunes algorithms, we'd probably be millionaires. But we're still in the same spot as far as the rankings go. But iTunes did notice all of the reviews, and there's a portion that's hand selected, and we were featured in the What's Hot section. So we're so hot, guys.
Yep. And that has nothing to do with the podcast, right? That's just a general observation.
So as promised, we did a drawing of those iTunes reviews, review entries, and we have a winner. It is Menoben, I guess. M-E-N-N-O-B-E-N, Menoben. They are the winner. And I think I'll do another one of these drawings at some point this season and include all of the iTunes reviews, maybe a couple of them. So Menoben, you can choose either an IVMV t-shirt or an IVMV pint glass. Email me, Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, at IVMV.com, and we'll get it squared away. If you're bummed that you didn't get an IVMV shirt, they are on sale this week. They're 20% off, just $12, and you can go to IVMV.com/store and use the coupon code 2016-2016. Andy, do you have a Rube Waddell story of the week? We're going to move these to the midweek episode. So do you have a Rube Waddell story?
Yes, I do. Sometime if you're bored, people who are listening, there's a guy named William Anderson that wrote an extensive history, biography, I guess you could call it, of Rube Waddell. And so when Rube was 18 years old, he went to a county fair with his dad. And at the county fair, one of the little booths that they had set up was a baseball. It's like a booth where you could throw a baseball at a living man's head for 3 baseball throws for a nickel.
Can you tell us what year this was?
So you put down a nickel, you can throw three baseballs at a living man's head. And so, so apparently Waddell laid down his only nickel, and after he threw the first baseball, the living man quit his job.
It was a nickel. It was a nickel that he had been paid by the lion owner, whose lion had bit him earlier in the year. He paid him off. Yeah, he settled for a nickel, and then Rube took it to the circus to throw a baseball at a living man's head. Oh man,
the things they thought of back in the day.
Why did that ever go away?
Let's just have a guy stand there and people can throw baseballs at his face.
Hey, how much do you think we should charge?
A nickel. The nickel was like a week's salary, though. So yeah.
Sure, that's big to get a nickel back then.
Like, could you imagine doing that now and like Aroldis Chapman walks up?
Puts down, he's got a whole bag of nickels.
Now Rube probably didn't throw that hard, but Rube apparently threw pretty hard.
Oh man.
Because he was actually breaking pieces of, you know, planks of wood with baseballs on the farm. So dude could throw hard.
Oh man. That's good. I love Rube. Oh, Rube. That does it for this first midweek episode of the 2016 season, which was made possible by all of our Patreon supporters. We have two new Patreon contributors this week, Mary Jo in Eagan, Minnesota, and Malcolm, who did not provide his location. So if you enjoy what we do here on the IVMV podcast, you can support the podcast by contributing. The pledging levels start at $1 a month. Pretty easy price point, I think. Pretty accessible. And for more information, go to patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. I should have a bonus episode of the podcast for you this Friday morning, so be on the lookout for that. The Cubs now go back to Arizona for a series with the Diamondbacks. It's a four-game series, so we'll have some more late nights ahead of us. As a group, we'll be back on Sunday evening to talk about those four games. And until then, go Cubs.